Today's reading is Jesus talking to the disciples by little parables, and he's talking to us at the same time. It's in Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 34. The first one is about a lamp on a stand. Jesus said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand. For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given whatever does not have. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him." And it's the parable of the growing seed. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, and night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." And the last one is the parable of the mustard seed. Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet, when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He didn't say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jennifer. It's good to be here again. We do look forward to coming, and it's a great joy, I can assure you. So before I start, let's bow our heads for a short prayer. Eternal God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you also that this is the day we remember the sending of the Holy Spirit to those first disciples, and the fact that the Holy Spirit is available to each and every one of us. Father, I pray that you will speak into our hearts this morning. You will open our ears to hear you speaking and set our hearts on fire for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I forget what my title was for this sermon, talk. It was one of two. It was either God's little things. Is that what I told you, Judy?
Tell me the other one.
Understanding the kingdom.
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah. Well, initially I had understanding the kingdom. And then what is fateful with me, every time I look at the talk I've prepared, I change things. And then I decided that what really spoke to me was God's little things. And this is an encouragement to all of you this morning. I was going to count how many were here, but it doesn't really matter. God will give the increase. We just need to be faithful, and above all, we need to pray. So, celebrating Pentecost this morning. Pentecost was the day 2,000 years ago that God poured out his Spirit. And one of the clear works of the Holy Spirit today is precisely to call Christians to a deeper place of prayer. Firstly, Jesus recommended it. Secondly, the disciples wanted it. And thirdly, the apostles modeled it. To pray is to change. It is the source of holiness, joy, and peace with God. God answers prayer. Sometimes it's an immediate yes. Sometimes it's wait, as Judy mentioned earlier on. We need patience to wait. And sometimes it's no. 160 years ago, someone proposed that they build a bridge across Niagara. Great idea. It would save miles and miles of travel and solve many problems. But how were they going to begin? The canyon walls were too steep and the rapids were too wild to get that first strand across from one cliff to another cliff. Then someone got a bright idea. They offered a $10 prize to the child who could fly a kite from one side to the other. And that's how the first string got across. It was then connected to a larger string, and it in turn was connected to a slender cable. And the slender cable was connected to a strong cable, and that made the entire construction possible. When the project was first announced, the critics laughed. When they heard that the kite was going to solve the problem, the sophisticated engineers had a field day. Well, my friends, history had the last laugh. One young boy, Homan Walsh, flew the first string across the chasm with his kite in 1848. He succeeded, and the process worked just as it was envisioned. The boy went and collected his $10, which was worth quite a bit if we convert it to today's. I meant to look this up. To today's monetary values. And the great suspension bridge was started with a single string. So God's little things. God seems to make a habit of using little people and little things, much to the surprise and dismay of the big people, who imagine that God should always do things with pomp and grandeur. One day, the disciples of Jesus were arguing about which of them would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And we're told that Jesus called a little child and made him stand in front of them and said, Jesus speaking, I assure you that unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the one who humbles himself and becomes like this child. And whoever welcomes in my name one such child as this welcomes me. That's from Matthew 18, verses 3 to 5. Then in Matthew 19, verses 13 to 15, sometime later, some people brought children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the people. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. And do not stop them, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And Jesus placed his hands on them and blessed them. Jesus' idea of greatness was very different from theirs. Sometimes we get the idea that we are too young, that we're too insignificant, we're too incompetent, we're just plain useless to God. But that's not God's opinion. As someone has put it, it is not a matter of our ability, but our availability. God will use us if we are willing to be used. Don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that ability and experience are of no value, but sometimes they can get in the way if we are not truly available to God. The story of the bridge across the Niagara is an illustration of this. One of my favorite stories from the Bible, from the Old Testament, is the story of Samuel going to Bethlehem to find the new king of Israel. 1 Samuel 15, verse 34 to chapter 16, verse 13. Jesse brought his sons before the prophet, starting with the eldest. Eliab, he was tall and handsome. Samuel was sure he must be the one God has chosen. Everyone knows this verse. But no, pay no attention to how tall and handsome he is. I have rejected him because I do not judge as man judges. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. One after another they were presented, but none of them was the one God had chosen. Have you any more sons? Well, there is still the youngest, but he is out in the fields taking care of the sheep. Nobody had thought it might be important for David to be there. We are told he was a handsome, healthy young man, and his eyes sparkled. And God said, "This is the one, anoint him." There are things that need to be done in this world that only you can do. You can't do it alone, but God is depending on you to be available to him. Now, I'm sure you're all wondering, why did John use Mark chapter 4? Well, we're getting there now. Graham, please. And you'll be pleased to know, I'm halfway through my talk, so you're not going to have a very long passage after this. Thank you. Did you hear that? So that $10 prize he was given, probably $400, $450 today. Just for flying your kite across it. Cool. I was never good at flying kites. Now, Mark chapter 4. I thought Jennifer was going to do my sermon, by the way, when she started off. Presents four responsibilities of God's people: sowing, shining, reaping, and trusting. Shining, 21 to 25. The word here is used, how many times do you think? Somebody could have a guess at this, don't count them, in this chapter. How many times do you think the word here is? Well, it's 13 times in this chapter. So that's how important it is for us to hear the word of God and to hear Jesus speaking to us. And on each occasion, it refers to the receiving of God's truth into the inner person. As we've been singing about the Holy Spirit, bringing the Holy Spirit into our inner being. Just the way soil receives the seed, we must be careful how we hear and what we hear, for this determines what we have to share with others. We do not receive the word so we can enjoy it by ourselves. We receive the word in order that we might share it with other people, just as a lamp gives itself to provide light for the house. Now, I mentioned the last time I was here, the church that Jennifer and I were involved in planting out in Portugal has changed its name. When we first started with the others there, we met in the back of a restaurant, pub, cafe. But when we bought the land and found that the ruined building was on the top of a hill, and we converted those outbuildings into the beautiful, really beautiful church they have today. And we were patient because we only built as we had money. They changed the name to the Church on the Hill, shining forth into Portugal. Portugal is really a Roman Catholic church, but it's, I suppose one would truthfully say, is very dead. Many people don't bother to go to church. But this little church started with 16 of us in that back room. And when we were there on the Sunday we were out in Portugal a month ago now, there were over 400. And you say, hallelujah. But I think I told you this. After that service had finished in the afternoon, there was another service, this time for, was it the Portuguese first? Yeah, and then the Latvians, mainly Ukrainians. And they also have about 200 people at each service. So, wait for it, they did a church plant. Now, okay, how long ago was that, John? Well, we went out there 50 years ago. The church began building 40 years ago. So 40 years, so it hasn't happened overnight. They've been patient, but they've been faithful, prayerful, and they've preached the word. And that is what is so important. Praying and preaching. I try to encourage Bible studies, and we did one here for a while. You know, you can meet just two of you, perhaps, to look right through a word. Sometimes you need to think, oh, what does that mean? Now, you're going to think I'm nuts. But I'm not sure how many years ago it was. I was reading the Christmas story, and I came across this sentence, and the grass was green. Blew my mind. You know, I read that passage many, many times. So I raced into the sitting room where Jennifer was doing something. I said, Jennifer, look at this. It says, and the grass was green. I can't remember what she said, so I'm not going to embarrass her and say so. But she'd seen it, understood it. I had read it, but not understood it. And that's why meeting over a coffee and some cakes and doing a little simple read of scriptures is so important. Secondly, reaping 26 to 29. And this parable may be summarized in four words. Verse 26, sowing. Verse 27, sleeping. Verse 28, growing. And finally, verse 29, reaping. My friends, all we can do is sow the seed. God alone can give the increase. We cannot make the seed grow. In fact, we do not fully understand how the seed grows. With the help of powerful microscopes, a great deal more is known about what is inside a seed, what happens when it sprouts. But for all that knowledge, nobody has been able to make a seed. Our knowledge should lead us to a greater sense of wonder. And when we plant a seed, we leave it alone. We don't dig it up every day just to make sure it is still there. I can't remember which of our daughters used to dig up what they'd planted just to see if it was growing. One of them did. It's better when you put a broad bean in blotting paper in a jug with water or glass jar. You can watch it as it sprouts. We water the ground and we wait. Those first two little leaves will come up in perhaps a week's time. And that is just the beginning too, until the plant grows to full size, to give us its fruit or flower. Jesus is saying that God's kingdom is like this. It starts as a little seed of God's word, planted in our minds and hearts, hidden where nobody else can see it. It grows as we welcome it, as we believe it, and as we begin to live it. It begins with what is hidden, invisible, but it grows, bursting out of the ground, expressing itself in the kind of people we are and in the ways we love and care and help in the world. Verses 30 to 32. What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Asked Jesus. What parable shall we use to explain it? A mustard seed is tiny, but when grown, produces a large shrub, not a tree. There is the suggestion here that Satan, the birds in the tree, will encourage a false growth that will give opportunity for the enemy to work. Here Jesus seems to be thinking of not just of our individual response to God, but of all of us together. Jesus, the Son of God, was one person, and he had just 12 close followers. But from the day of Pentecost onwards, massive growth has been taking place. When you read through the Acts of the Apostles, I'm not sure how many times, I should have looked this up, every so often there is a progress report which says, and God added to their numbers daily. It's there for the apostles' encouragement, but also today for our encouragement. In fact, we are told that people are becoming Christians today at a faster rate than at any other time in history, but mainly in non-Western countries. But I can, for your encouragement, tell you that young people, those in their teens and 20s, are turning to churches, house churches, even mainstream churches, in their hundreds. Well, we've got some youngsters here at the back today, including a very little girl. That's the future. The future is youth. But don't think it's not happening. It is happening. And I'm constantly praying, because I still think of this church as not my church, but as important. So I pray for the church. I pray for you. And I pray that people will come through that door. Not all believe by any means, but society itself seeks what benefits it may gain from the kingdom. And for us all, receive the word. Listen carefully to it. Think about it. Allow God's Spirit to apply it within you. And be available to God to do his will. That is how the kingdom will grow within you and through you in this world. Therefore, watch the single grain, wonder at the greatness, and welcome the grace of the gospel. And finally, trusting. Jesus completed the lesson and gave his disciples an unexpected examination. They had listened to the word of God, and that word should have increased their faith. Quoting from Romans again, Judy quoted from Romans earlier on about prayer, how the Holy Spirit interprets our moanings and our groanings. Romans 10 verse 17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. The disciples, alas, failed the test. It is not unusual for terrible storms to come suddenly on the Sea of Galilee, although this one may have been satanic in origin. Verse 39, the word rebuked is the same word Jesus used when dealing with the demons in chapter 1, verse 25. Perhaps the enemy was trying to keep Jesus from the healing of the demon-possessed man. Don't be led astray by the false gods of power, the false gods of possessions, and the false gods of pleasure. Remember, my friends, with Christ in the boat, you can smile at the storm if your faith is in him and in him alone. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we become citizens of the heavenly kingdom, children in God's family and subjects of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a privilege it is to know the risen Lord Jesus Christ.